It was an amazing moment. It's been described in a number of ways. It was the time that the Spirit came in power. It was the birth of the church. It was the first steps in those early followers of Jesus being the witnesses that he had called them to be, those who would tell others, tell the world about Jesus. It was like watching those early steps of a toddler growing into something that was going to be amazing and wonderful, but empowered and filled with the presence of God. It was like a present you've been waiting for from someone you respect greatly. He's told you he's sending this present, but you don't know when it's going to arrive. And that was the situation that these disciples, these followers of Jesus were in. He had said he would send the Spirit, and they were to wait until it happened. So in the days following the ascension of Jesus, the days after he had gone back to heaven, they spent time together praying. And I'm sure they'd have spent time talking about Jesus, his life and ministry, the effect he had on their lives after he had called them to be with and to follow him. Those events of his death and resurrection that had changed their understanding, had affected so much, had taken through that journey of doubt and despair and joy and rejoicing. They'd have spoken about the things that he had shown and taught them after coming back to life. They were waiting. And then the Holy Spirit comes on them. But Luke, it seems difficult to describe what was happening. He uses sort of illustrations, analogies, metaphors. There was a sound like the blowing of a mighty wind. You might have been somewhere in a valley somewhere, and suddenly there was this wind whistling through, and you heard it, and you knew that's what it was. It was something that looked like tongues of fire. And fire, particularly in the Old Testament, is often the evidence of God's presence. So something special was happening. And this reminds us that we can't pin the Spirit down and say this is how he works and this is what he does. He comes and blesses and he enables and gifts as he pleases. And in this situation, his gifts were for everyone. They were all filled and began to speak in tongues. This was not about the most experienced people, the most well-respected people, the ones with the highest standing being enabled to do amazing things for God. The Spirit came on all those people who were following Jesus and waiting for his promise to be fulfilled. And they all received this blessing. They all received the ability to serve. And the evidence of the Spirit's occasion on this time was a strange gift. The ability for words that were uttered to be understood in many different languages. And Luke lists a whole set of languages from different parts of the Mediterranean region. And as people heard the sound of this rush, like this rushing mighty wind, as they heard these languages being spoken in many different tongues, a crowd came together. You can imagine the rumours of this going around the town. There's this noise, there's this disturbance, there's this speaking where lots of different languages and we just don't understand what's going on. Let's go and see what's taking place. And I think this should give us huge confidence. When the Spirit is at work, when the Spirit is enabling his people, when the Spirit is pouring out his gifts upon his people, others will see, others will hear, and they will want to know what is going on. When we come back together in our buildings, and even as we wait, as we meet over Zoom, we want to see more of this in our gatherings. We want to see the work of the Spirit being more evident in what is going on amongst us. We also want to see this being worked out in small groups, as we meet together in smaller groups and elsewhere, as we look and as we pray for the Spirit to come and bless us, so that the work of the Spirit is evident around the town and drawing people to find out what is going on. People getting excited about Jesus and what he is doing. On this occasion, Peter and the 11 with him could have chosen to ignore the crowd and the questions they were asking. They had just gone through a strange experience. Maybe they needed time to adjust to what was going on, to work it through, but rather, they saw it as an opportunity to start to do what Jesus had told them to do. In Acts 1:8, as we were thinking about last week, Jesus said that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And this was an opportunity to do this? And so Peter starts. And he does this by referring back to something a prophet called Joel had said hundreds of years earlier. And later on, he will quote from two different psalms that David, one of the great kings of Israel, had written. And it worked for that audience. They were Jews, some living in the region, some living in many different places, but they were all from that background. They would have been familiar with their scriptures. They would have known these stories. It would not have worked for all. If you didn't have that background, much of what Peter was going to say wouldn't make much sense. And we will see this as we look at the story of the early church developing through the book of Acts, that different approaches are used and different approaches work in different contexts, depending on where the people you are speaking with are coming from, what they understand, what they know. And this is so important for us to understand, that one size does not fit all, that we need to be able to communicate the same story in different ways. The same story about God, the same story about Jesus, enabled by the same Spirit, but in a way that is relevant and appropriate to the people that we're talking to. Peter was able to explain all this in the power of the Spirit after having spent 40 days with the risen Jesus. Luke, in his gospel, at the end of his gospel, he explains that Jesus spent time with them after his resurrection, explaining what had been written about him in our Old Testament scriptures, the scriptures that they would have known and understood. And Peter was able to take that and use it to communicate it to these people. Peter explains that God had promised to send his Spirit. It had now happened, and that resulted in this strange experience of everyone hearing what was being spoken in their own language. And Peter goes from there, explaining what had happened, to speak directly about Jesus. This is the focus of what he wants to say. He talks about the life of Jesus, what he had done. How, yes, it was God's plan that he would be killed, but they, the people, had been complicit in making it happen. And Peter is very clear, it is your fault. Now, we need to think about this a bit. Not all of them would have been there. As the passage makes clear, they're living in many different parts of the Mediterranean region. And most of them would have just come for the festival of Pentecost, a key moment. It was weeks after Passover, and some of them might have been there for Passover, but it was unlikely that many would have stayed. And so not everybody that Peter was speaking to would have been part of the crowd that said, we want nothing to do with Jesus. Rather, he's speaking representatively, saying that you as a nation were responsible for handing him over. And so the responsibility rested on them. In some way, Peter is saying. This is not an anti-Semitic statement, nothing against the Jews. Peter himself was a Jew. And people have used this passage to make that point. That is not what Peter is saying. And it is not what we can take from this. That is not, there is no racism at all being referred to here. But what it does say is that Christ was prepared to die for his enemies. Those who were going to oppose him and hand him over. And else, later in the New Testament, we find that Christ died for us, even when we're still enemies. And that still applies today. So yes, we were not part of the crowd that said, away with Jesus, we want him to be crucified. But it was because of our sin and the sin of billions of others that Jesus died. We bear some of that responsibility. But Peter doesn't stop there. He goes on and says, yes, Jesus died, but he's alive again. As those scriptures that I've been referring to said he would be. And that they were witnesses. Him and the 11 and the others, they were witnesses that Jesus was alive. This Jesus who had now returned to heaven. The Jesus upon whom the Spirit had rested during his ministry had now been given the Spirit to pour out on his followers, which is what he had done. And in response to his gift, they would be his witnesses. So yes, he was crucified. You, representatively, Peter is saying, handed him over to be crucified. But God restored him to life, demonstrated that he is Lord, that he's Messiah, the one that God has sent, the one who is in place of ultimate authority. And it's not surprising that this challenged the people. They responded with a plea for help. What should we do? And Peter says, you need to repent. You need to say sorry. You need to choose a different way of life. You need to be baptized. You need to be forgiven. And that having done so, you would also receive this free gift of the Spirit. And this same promise extends down to us today. Just as our culpability, our sin, is still there. And the forgiving act of Jesus on the cross can deal with that sin today. The sin of all. Friends, this same Spirit is available to us today. This same crucified and risen Jesus is at his Father's side in heaven. This same Jesus calls on us to be his witnesses and enables us to do so through the Spirit. Would we be able to tell this story? Do we have the confidence to challenge people in this way? Are we prepared to take risks for Jesus, confident in the power of his Spirit? As I mentioned earlier, as we look through the book of Acts, we will see different ways of telling people about Jesus. But sometimes this approach, what Peter does here so well, is the right approach and something we need to be prepared to do. Let's be bold to communicate the truth of Jesus and the claims he has on people's lives. Let's expect to see the Spirit work and many repent and come to know Jesus for themselves. He did it then. Let's have faith that he will do it again. Here are some questions to think about. How do you understand being filled with the Holy Spirit? How confident are you in telling the story of the life, death and resurrection of Jesus and its relevance today? How confident are you that the Spirit can do again what was done in the early church?